Okay, we're glad you're back with us at GoldSeek.com Radio for another Gold Nugget segment. Well, today's special guest, Peter Granditch from the Granditch Letter. Well, last week, Capitol Hill agreed to suspend the $16.4 trillion debt ceiling. There's currently no limit to government spending. Joining me to discuss the implications for the precious metals sector, market analyst and mining company consultant Peter Granditch, the editor of the Granditch Letter. Welcome back, Peter Granditch.
Thank you very much.
Let's begin with the government profligacy. You know, on Wednesday evening, in a last-minute compromise, congressional leaders approved the Senate deal to reopen the federal operations effective until January 15th and to extend the limit there until the debt ceiling until February 7th. Essentially, we've lost $24 billion from the domestic economy. The Fed is printing about $1 trillion per year. Mark Fauber went on record this week saying, forget QE tapering, but eventually $1 trillion a month. Well, it sounds impossible, but who'd have thought we'd be printing $1 trillion?
And we've had to raise that so-called debt ceiling an enormous amount of times, not just in this administration. However, in this administration, watch, it is accelerated unlike any others all combined. But let's understand fact. It was supposed to be there to keep some semblance of fiscal order in Washington, which fails all the time. The second thing to look at is, I think, and what concerns me most about what has happened here is they pretty well, up until this debt ceiling, could kick the can fairly easy down. There was a little concerns. There wasn't really any comment by outside parties, and they eventually would extend it and go about their business of spending more money than they take in. However, during this one, not only did it go down to the last minute, but we saw serious disharmony by some of the most important people in the debt game, the people who actually buy our debt, namely the Chinese and others, expressed serious concern about it. And then third, regarding your comment about Mark Fauber, not only was it a joke to think there would be an actual tapering, but it is true that now with the economy really tailing off here, the Fed is going to be in a position to not only not taper, but have to look at perhaps increasing easing. And mind you, where is it their job to be concerned about economics? In reality, we have not had fiscal real management in Washington for well over a decade. No one can point to me, and I'll be the first to be glad to hear, where there's been a serious bipartisan fiscal move to betterment the fiscal condition of the United States. So when you combine all these things together, one thing is for certain. The ability to kick the can yet again is now very questionable, and the exhaustiveness that we went through in the last one may actually have gotten us to the point where they will no longer be able to kick the can. So we're really shaping up for an interesting next time the debt ceiling comes, because we just don't see it being able to be just moved down the road yet again. I just don't see how they can do it economically and, of course, with any support not only in the United States but across the world.
Well, I'd add that the Fed's original mandate had very little to do with managing the economy. They were supposedly responsible for maintaining our currency, the U.S. dollar. But, you know, the Heritage Foundation agrees with you. They're calling the debt ceiling suspension merely a smokescreen that allows legislators to essentially raise the debt limit much higher by just putting a date on it instead of a dollar figure. So come January and February, as I mentioned earlier, we could see another debt crisis and potentially even another government shutdown. And, you know, they've set a precedent now.
One of the things that hasn't been asked, well, it's been asked to me and a few others, but not on the national stage on a regular basis, is what is the end result of all this? At the end of the day, how do you fix the enormous problem? I think a lot of people are starting to realize that the problem is very, very serious. But I don't think yet there's been a lot of discussion is what is the end game to eventually fixing it. Well, many will point back that the last real chance to fix it was during the last fiscal crisis, when many called for, instead of all the bailouts and everything that happened, let the defaults take place then, have a very serious recession, if not depression, but could have started the motion to cleanse it out. Instead, How much more debt have we added since then? And the irony of all of it is, if people have very short memories, and that's the difficulty with the average American, the whole concept of the fiscal crisis was, at the time it was told, was if the banks aren't protected and bailed out, the whole economy will fail, and that's the reason why the bailout supposedly took place. Mind you, let's not forget that it was mismanagement by those investment houses and banks that led to the crisis in the first place. Well, where are we just 5 years later after that bailout? Those companies are gone right back to misbehaving the way they did. Just look at the news stories of all the various banks being fined literally tens of billions of dollars for misbehavior in the financial markets. So what do we get out of all of what transpired? What have we gotten out of literally trillions of dollars of new debt at the end of the day? A feeble economic recovery, if you can even call it by measurement economic recovery. And what price did we pay for that? Well, we've paid a price now to where we're getting very close to the point where I know it's not a question that we can no longer pay the principal amount, but at this rate, and particularly if interest rates rise as our creditworthiness gets called into question, I don't think America can, from a cash flow standpoint, be able to service the interest rate. And if and when we get to that point and that perception is hit, then it's a game that I don't think any of us are prepared for, in the sense that we have any real idea of how bad it's going to get or the various different avenues we can travel down. But I do say that it's going to make the 1930s depression look like a walk in the park.
Certainly starting to look that way. Cracks in the foundation. For instance, almost 48 million folks on food stamps. I think this is becoming a pretty common statistic. But you start to lose touch, I think, with the humanity of 47, 48 million people requiring food stamps just to put food on the table. On November 1st, many of those folks will see their EBT debit cards and SNAP cards begin to lose. Very few of these people are economically savvy. That's not their fault. It's just the way things turned out. And they're not necessarily going to understand the government is curtailing spending.
I think you just have to look at, in recent times, where austerity programs, which eventually America has to go in. I put up a chart of several days ago on my own blog of the parabolic rise of the debt situation. And all parabolic moves always end off in a blow-off, and then it goes reverse to the parabolic. So there's going to come a point in time when the debt levels are going to go much lower, but that's going to be through when we default, we renegotiate, and we monetize in a combination of all threes. But what will happen clearly at that time is lifestyles and standards will have to fall dramatically, and not just for a month or two, but for years, if not decades. Well, look at all the places in recent years that have tried to implement austerity programs, Greece, Europe, third world countries in the 70s and 80s. The people uprise. The people fight it. In most cases, the government caves in because they can't have the people go through the pain and suffering that really needs to happen to truly cleanse it. I don't think America is going to be any different. I don't see some universal patriotism, let me take one for the Gipper. That might have happened 40 or 50 years ago, but I don't believe the country's in a position at that anymore. And it certainly doesn't have the leadership. And I think that's the talk that hasn't been spoken enough about this recent debt crisis, is the total lack of leadership on all sides, and clearly by a president that was unable to move away from partisan politics and take control of the situation and bring people together to fix the situation. Clinton managed to do that during the budget deficit as a Democrat. Ronald Reagan was extremely good at that. The first George Bush was very good at that, too. And yet this president is just laughed at. He's even now being mocked by the very liberal supporters that drove him into office. So without any real leadership on any side, and really a feeling of America's disgust of the politics, and I think an attitude that's greatly increasing called throw the bums out, is just not conducive for an environment with the hard decisions that are going to be needed to fix this problem eventually are in place. So it's only going to get a lot worse before it can possibly get better.
Well, speaking of getting worse, the U.S. dollar fell through key support this week, dropping to the lowest level since February on expectations of further QE due to that 16-day government shutdown. The greenback recently posted an ominous diamond pattern for our technical savvy folks, suggesting that a run to the former lows is a possibility. Could this be the impetus to pull the metals out of the doldrums?
Well, I clearly believe it. That has begun. The key support on the U.S. dollar index is in the 78-79 area, which I think in a matter of hours, if not a few days, we test. And if we don't break it the first time, eventually we do. We do get into a little bit of a unique situation that this testing will come as we get in towards the end of the year, where a lot of book squaring and seasonal factors impact currencies as well as other markets. So there could be an added negative from that, that markets become thinner as the year gets closer to an end and the market is moving lower. But there's no question that how could the dollar even be thought of rising in this situation? And with any inkling that Europe is somehow of its worst condition and improving, combined with the United States here, is going to be the thing that tips the scales and sends the U.S. dollar substantially lower. Now, remember this part, and I don't want to take away from a question you might have had coming, but I wouldn't want to miss saying this today. We were told, particularly in the first half of this year, that gold was a sale because of the tapering, the rising of interest rates, and the strengthening of the dollar to come. Well, those things are not happening. Well, those same people that told us should be telling us now gold should be rising, but they're not, because they're just anti-gold to begin with, and that's why they used what they could to say at that point. But the fact remains is, if they were right, and in a sense they were, because if interest rates rise and the dollar rises, that tends to be at times negative. That's clearly not happening, so then the opposite should happen. And I think we're starting to see that unfold now. And while I still don't put it past the paper manipulators in the paper market to still to try to suppress and hold back as they've always done, what you and I and some others have said for quite a while continues to prove right and eventually will win the day, and that is the great strength of the physical gold market, that it will eventually overcome and override the paper market. And that's really what kept the paper gold market from truly breaking down and the manipulators winning. And now, with some renewed general interest to the gold market, I think we're going to see a movement up in both markets, particularly if gold and when it gets above 1400. I have said this for a while. If we can get a couple of days, particularly a weekly close or so, above 1400, the bears are in big, big trouble, and that's where we'll see the acceleration. So I think a number for us to watch is psychologically and technically is the 1400 area on gold.
I'm a bit more encouraged lately by Russia's entry into their entry into the physical market, the Shanghai Exchange, and now gold trading on Russia's stock exchange, which is kind of a new twist. People are losing faith in derivatives in general. But, you know, I wanted to also talk about China's largest credit rating agency, Degong, downgraded U.S. debt from A to A-minus status last week. And should investors be preparing for China, Russia, and Japan to dump the remainder of their $2 trillion stockpile? And if so, what impact might that have on the markets?
Well, I think they have been quiet sellers. We've noticed a great tail off of foreign buying. Let's not forget that during the height of QE's most latest number, whatever some people say it might have been QE5 based on some factors, we were seeing the Fed being up to 80 to 90% of all the bond purchasing. So I think they've backed off. I certainly believe now that one of the things that came out of this is they are just going to look for more alternatives or do something that I believe I've discussed with you before, and if I may, I think this is very, very important for people to grasp that this is going to happen if it's not happening already. And I'm going to use an example back during the height of the Cold War when President Eisenhower was in charge. At that time, the Egyptians decided that they wanted to build the Suez Canal and not have the Brits and France who were currently there. And the Brits and France said no, and they started to move military people into that area. And Russia started to mobilize its folks and start to move it into Egypt. Well, President Eisenhower at the time suddenly called and made an announcement that he was going to call in within 2 weeks the debt that France and the United Kingdom had owed the United States from World War II. And 24 or 48 hours after that announcement, both France and England announced that they were pulling out of the Suez Canal. And we all obviously knew that one and one equaled two there. Well, I surely suspect, even if you don't see it publicly, that China, behind closed doors, now going to put on, if they haven't already been doing so, enormous pressure on the United States and look for concessions on enormous avenues, including leaving us alone and not trying to be a watchdog of what we're doing in China, as well as other trade factors, because of how much they control and how much the debt that they owe. But I certainly don't believe that they're going to be significant buyers anymore. I personally think they've been the major buyer of all these physical gold purchases that we've seen, but we'll never know that they have until they're basically done, and then they'll tell us. But I just think that what happened out of this fiscal crisis is we've also killed the goose that laid the golden egg, and China will no longer be a major buyer, and Japan, of our debt. And that's why, even though right now the bond market has rallied, because it has this thing in its mind, weakness means lower interest rates, eventually when the world recognizes, and people in the United States, that the United States can't keep just printing money and get so indebted, rates will rise dramatically, because that's the only way we'll be able to raise any money, regardless of the strength of the economy, and that will be another death knell to the financial markets and a boon to the hard asset market.
I think some analysts have been scratching their heads wondering why China has held on to much of its U.S. dollar reserves in the form of treasury bonds. And I think one of the reasons why they've been able to sleep well at night, if you will, is because they are importing so much gold through Hong Kong. Would you be nervous about your treasury bonds and deflated purchasing power if you were consuming nearly as much gold as India and holding and hoarding all of the gold produced by your major producers? Premiums in China and India are very solid. In Shanghai, roughly $18 over spot. India, premiums are now at an all-time high of $100 an ounce.
I just think that just continues to play into the argument that the physical market will eventually overwhelm the paper market, which we know here in the U.S. has been highly manipulated. I mean, for some of these talking heads on television to say that it's ridiculous for someone to say that there's manipulation in gold, when first we have people paying tens, if not hundreds of billions of dollars of fines for acting badly in all sorts of other markets, but somehow it doesn't happen at the COMEX is foolish. But second, just in the patterns that we saw, who in their right mind sells so much gold at one of the worst times, knowing that such a sale would make it drop dramatically, then try to feed it out and get the best possible price that a normal seller would try to do. So I think it's come pretty clear, while we're never going to see the talking heads fess up to it, but I think people in the know, and particularly people around the world who have real money, still recognize that the paper market has been artificially impacted. It's a game that's going to blow up eventually in their faces, and the physical market and what happens there on buying and selling is what really matters, and the physical market only continues to get stronger and stronger.
No, we're seeing nothing but signs of strength in that sector despite these lower prices, and as you and other guests have pointed out on the show, if we were seeing weakness in demand with lower prices, that would certainly be a red flag. This is an interesting story. I think it was actually the biggest story to fly under the radar screen last week. J.P. Morgan Chase notified business account holders that the bank will limit all cash transactions, including deposits, withdrawals, and ATM usage, to only $50,000 a month, and will prohibit all outgoing international bank wires. This is clearly a case of capital controls. Do you view this as a potential trial run to see how folks will respond? And could we see something similar enforced on a widespread basis?
Oh, yeah, I think it is. I have advocated, and as I've told others, as an American, it must be 4 or 5 years ago now, that the bulk of my savings outside of home and hard assets was changed from U.S. dollars to Canadian dollars and placed in Canadian financial institutions legally. It was about 2 years ago or last year when the United States implemented yet more rules and regulations on that, and I have to fill out all sorts of forms now and disclose and show statements and that value. I think this is just an ongoing move to, like you said, take control and impact, not just because there's an underground economy that isn't doing what I was doing and reporting and so forth, but to really control the monetary forces in the world. And so it doesn't surprise me. And the very fact that it wasn't a big kick up in arms has probably made them delighted that they think they can try more and more things like that in the days and weeks and months ahead.
I think you're right. And I'd also like your thoughts on gold backwardation. You know, until this year, gold has never been backward dated twice in a year. But as of last week, it reentered that state and it remains there today. The last time we saw an event like this, the reaction lows in 1999 and 2008 sparked new highs in the sector. From your vantage point, will this mark the bottom?
I think we've had them, because I think we've not gone back near those. I think this has been a bottoming formation, and the fact that we are in backwardation signals that, you know, physical demand is as strong as we say it is. And again, it's just another piece of the formation after a very hard correction. And it's hard for people to see that because so many of those people also have owned mining shares and all, which got decimated compared to the gold and silver pullback. But when you look at where gold and silver was at the turn of the millennium, where it went to, what we corrected back to, in a very long secular bull market, these would be just considered healthy corrections. They're never fun when you're going through them, but we haven't violated any really long-term factor in that. And again, I think we're starting to pull away to the upside here. And like I said, we're just $60 or $70 on gold and $2 or $3 on silver from getting to levels that are really going to, I think, hurt the bears to the point where we're going to see a dramatic short covering rally that will fuel new rounds of momentum buyers and get us back on track and get us into 2014 when we start looking at a 1500 to 1550 gold price. And that's where the real challenge will be to get through. And when we get through that, and obviously I believe we're going to get through it because I say when, then we'll see the renewed true momentum. One other thing let me point out to you, very important. I posted an article in the last day or two on my blog, ran out of a New York paper here, about a study that was done among wealth management services, and that's the 21st century word that's used for financial houses. It used to be stockbrokers, what have you. And what was amazing is how many of them are now switching and saying, hard assets need to be substantial parts of people's portfolios. And I'm celebrating almost 30 years in this, and this is the first time I've seen the general Wall Street firms talk about hard assets in a significant way. So I just think all the ingredients have come together. It was really hard going through this, and, you know, it still lingers, so we don't feel safe yet. But I think all the things are pointing to a much better market.
Precious metals equity sector certainly seems to agree with your improvement hypothesis. We're starting to see several stocks come to life, many of them making our stock pick lists with these discounted prices. You also have improved financials. As we wrap up here, I'd also like your thoughts on gold manipulation. I know that this is something you watch very closely, and you have some strong opinions about the powers that be and some of the manipulations that are apparently going on behind the scenes to suppress the price of gold and silver.
Well, I've been most disenchanted and, quite frankly, angry with the gold mining industry. You would think a group that really depends and should prosper with higher metal prices would see the enormity of circumstantial and sometimes hard evidence of it and try to support any group that was trying to show it for it. And one I always think of is GATA. And yet, I think 99 point something of the industry has not done that. And shame on them because they don't realize that by allowing it, they've cut their nose to spite their face. I think the second thing to recognize is that unfortunately anybody that was anticipating that we would get regulatory actions really lost any faith in that with the recent ruling by the CFTC. I mean, they did word it in a way that people pick up that there wasn't enough evidence. They didn't say they didn't see any. They said there wasn't enough evidence. I think that was an all behind the scenes thing, part of the settlements that are coming out with these companies now that are announcing tens, if not $100 billion worth of fines, and, you know, with some sort of promise, okay, we won't do it, just kind of look the other way and we'll walk away from it. And then when the regulators walk away, they'll go back to doing what they do best. But the bottom line is whether or not there is a degree of manipulation, whether or not it's controlled by a group of people or it just happens to be people taking advantage of situations, the bottom line is at the end of the day, you said it earlier, the physical market is overwhelming it. And eventually, physical markets decide really which way markets go. And through all this, people have been buyers on weakness, not sellers on strength. So I just think things bode well for the market going forward.
Very good. And could you please tell folks more about what they can find at the Greenwich Letter?
Greenwich.com can see our comments about the markets in general and some of the clients that we represent on the juniors. Thank you very much.